You look like you've been jumping with the mountain men.
You have missed this because when I've come in to see Harf, yeah, every time he sees me, and for those who can't obviously see me now, but yes, I have been going to Beard for, boy, it's got to be a month now, Tony.
Yeah, so. Well, I haven't seen you for two since.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. Look, I'm not sold on it completely, but I'm also at the point where I'm not ready to shave it yet. So.
Yeah. Hey, you're looking good.
Thank you. As you get older, you get more gray and white in it, and that kind of makes it a little bit weirder, yeah, you know. But, yeah, for now, it's I'm trying to think I'm, you know, a hipster, but right, I'm way over the
got the flannelette shirt
hipster
going. It's
age,
all happening.
But yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. How are you going?
Hey, I'm great. Probably not as good as a couple of teams in the NCAA that have sort of just wrapped up.
Yeah,
things.
Look, it's pretty remarkable where we are right now, Tony. Yesterday, huge game. Did super ratings, highest rated, wrote this down, it's the highest rated basketball game since game six of the NBA Finals in 1998.
No.
Jordan era. That's the highest, 28.3 million viewers saw that game between Duke and Wisconsin.
Now, you see, I don't understand that to an extent that, to me, I would have thought that the people that would watch that game would be people who follow Duke and Wisconsin, not the whole of America.
It's a massive event. Well, this March Madness, as they call it, is just insane because it's this three-week period or a month-long period where you have all these games. Everyone is interested because they have these brackets that they fill out. It becomes a big, big thing. But this is an amazing result that it came up with that type of a rating, Tony. It's just remarkable. It really is. The Duke won the game 68-63. Very good. Good game. And then just today, Connecticut has beaten Notre Dame to win the women's title. And there's some serious records being involved with these two coaches. Two amazing coaches, probably the best we see in the modern era. Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski of the Duke men's team.
And Coach A.
And Coach A, Gino Auriemma, who is coach of the Connecticut women's team. Coach K won his fifth title with Duke. That is more than anybody except John Wooden, who is considered the godfather, the legend of American coaches.
Yeah.
He won 10 at UCLA in the 60s and 70s. Gino Auriemma has tied John Wooden's record with his 10th title at the University of Connecticut. So a lot of history being made with these two guys. And they're both kind of a quirky couple of characters. Coach K, his grandparents immigrated from Poland. He went to West Point, which is the military academy. Mm-hmm. So he's got that background there, coached there, and then has been at Duke for a long time and says he's never going to leave Duke. Oddly, was criticized at Duke for playing a boring style of play, yet has coached two Olympic teams to gold medals, two world championship teams to gold medals, and guys like LeBron and Kobe and Carmelo Anthony just swear by this guy as the greatest coach they've ever played for, essentially.
Now, is his coaching of kids, they're not kids, these guys are young men, aren't they?
17
is it any
to
different
20.
To what an NBA would?
It would be way different,
yeah.
And that's what I think is remarkable about this guy. You've got guys at college, they do their college thing, they get these guys in the pros, there's a lot of it there is managing the whole thing, managing some egos, playing time, making sure everyone's happy. The college game, you can be a little bit more dictatorial, you know, you're the guy, hey, kid, I recruited you here, you're on a scholarship, you don't want to do it my way, you're gone, that kind of thing. I think it's remarkable that he's been able to do both of those things. So you can't criticize him anymore, but if you had been criticizing his style of college play, all you had to do was look at the Olympic team and what they've done and what LeBron and Kobe and guys like that say about him, which is remarkable. Gino Auriemma, on the other hand, Italian immigrant, his parents came over from southern Italy to Pennsylvania, both originally from Pennsylvania. Auriemma is a guy that loves the women's game, has dominated the women's game, and says he has no interest in coaching the men's game. Doesn't like the men's game. Says he doesn't like it. It's fascinating,
isn't
it?
Money is obviously, isn't it?
It would be, although he's on a pretty nice little package where he is, Tony. He's like a little, I don't want to say the king of Connecticut. He might be. He's in a great position there. He can recruit the great players. He's had some great players over the years. And there's no sign of him stopping, really. I mean, he could write his own ticket probably to go to any other university and become the head coach, but he's going to just keep winning. He's done remarkable things. 10 titles is pretty incredible for anybody, much less Gino Auriemma.
The NCAA system has, I think, forced the American public not force probably isn't the right word, but it's forced, it's given the American public the opportunity to love women's sport.
Agreed.
I don't think we have that love because we don't have it well, as such, watching those those girls grow up through the system to then become big. But I think something like the NCAA has allowed people to say, yeah.
It has. And there's a thing called Title IX that was passed a number of years ago, which basically said for every scholarship you give to a man, you have to give equal number of scholarships to women. And that has become, as controversial as it is, and schools have had to get rid of wrestling programs and other sports to comply with this. So it is controversial, but it's done exactly what you've said, Tony. It's opened doors for women's sports. It's given them an opportunity, and it's allowed, you know, the WNBA obviously is subsidized by the NBA. It probably wouldn't exist on its own, but it is there, and it does provide an opportunity for women to play sports at a professional level, giving some opportunities to Australian, you know, as we know, Australian women to go over and do that. So it is pretty remarkable, and I think for all the negative things about the NCAA, and there are a lot of things wrong with it, Tony, guys, you know, essentially not getting paid and bringing in billions of dollars for their universities and for networks and things like that. It does provide an opportunity for people to get an education. It also does provide an opportunity, as you say, for women to play athletics and sports at a very high level.
Coach K, any chance he gets picked up by an NBA team at any point?
I don't think he's going to do it. I mean, I think he's happy to become the Olympic thing and stay at Duke. He can do great things at Duke. And the other thing I should mention,
what's
Tony,
his salary?
Oh, geez, I don't know. We could look it up. No, it wouldn't be that high. It would probably be in the single-figure millions, I would suspect. But he'd have sponsorships from, you know, Adidas or Nike or whoever. The great thing about him, I think, is he was a guy that for years liked players who came for 3-4 years, veteran players. Now the trend is for kids, superstars, to go for 1 or 2 years and then go to the NBA. That's kind of against what Coach K has always been about. But this year and in the past couple years, he's starting embracing that. And he got three kids this year. Jahlil Okafor, who is the number one rated prospect in the country. He'll go to the NBA after 1 year. Justice Winslow, great name, Justice Winslow. He's about 6'9", left-handed shooter. He's a really NBA-ready player. He'll leave already. So those two are already gone. And the guy who was the MVP is this kid named Tyus Jones, a 6'1" or 6'2" kid out of Minnesota, little guard who's just exceptional. He may or may not go to the pros. I would like to see him stick around for another year. I think he'll be fantastic. But Coach K has essentially embraced this thing that he never liked, Tony. He's embraced it, and look what he's done. He's ended up with his fifth national championship.
So build it and they will come.
It's just, you know, it's a great coach that can go with the times and not say, I'm this way, damn it, I'm always going to stay this way. Kids are changing. Mm-hmm. Times are changing. Culture is changing. I think you need to change along with it, and Coach K is a great example.
We'll take a break. Ed, sticking around. We're going to talk the NBA playoffs and a bit of baseball as well. Ed White joining me in the studio as well. We've spoken about the NCAA. Let's have a look at the NBA and the MLB, and the NBA playoffs are coming towards.
Yeah, they're getting close. Yeah. Here's what I've been thinking about, Tony. I went through and I looked at the the odds for teams to win it and roughly. And what you see this year is a lot of good teams that have absolutely very little postseason experience, very little success. Now, what I mean by that, Cleveland Cavaliers, of course, with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, they're the favorites to win it. Cavaliers have never won an NBA title.
Really?
Never won one. So, I wouldn't read too much into that because you got LeBron there.
Yeah.
He's the best player in the game, and he's got a couple of titles from Miami. But you start looking down, for example, at the Golden State Warriors that everyone loves. We love the Warriors, Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Bogut. You know, we just love what they're doing. They haven't won a title, Tony, since 1975.
Wow.
That's a long time ago.
Between drinks.
They haven't had a lot of postseason experience. Go to the Atlanta Hawks. Their last title, believe it or not, 1958, when they were in St. Louis.
Wow.
That's a long time ago. Some of us weren't even born then.
So they're three of the four favorites for this
tournament. Yeah, exactly. Have either never won one or it's been a long time. Memphis Grizzlies have never won an NBA title. The Clippers, the Raptors. Now, I'm not saying they can't win it because these are different teams. These are new teams. But when you've got the Spurs hanging around, you've got a team with experience like San Antonio. Playoff basketball is a little bit different, Tony. It slows down.
Yeah.
It becomes half-court game.
Without a doubt. And you know what? Not winning a title for a while isn't an issue for me. It's those teams that have never won one the pressure that then becomes on the players Absolutely. To actually turn that into a title,
yeah.
it's immense.
It is, and I think you start having to look at things like, and I've gone through this when I lived in Portland, and the Blazers won their only title in 1977, a long time ago. We're in the finals in 90 against Detroit and 92 against Jordan and the Bulls, lost both those years. Yeah. But in and out of those times, you just see some really frustrating stuff. You see bad calls that seem to go against you, you know. The referees tend not to respect some of those teams yeah. that haven't been there. Now, I'm not suggesting the referees are going to be actively out to shaft the Golden State Warriors, but I'm telling you, when it gets down to crunch time and you got Tim Duncan going up against Andrew Bogut, Duncan's going to get that call. That's how the NBA works. So it's going to be fascinating to see, I think, how these teams actually cope with, as you said, this additional pressure, this fact that we've never gotten this far, that kind of thing. LeBron, he'll be fine. He's been there. Yeah. The Spurs have been there. But some of these other teams are just going to be fascinating to see how it pans out.
Well, this will define LeBron as a champion or not. If he can bring these other boys along with him now.
Yes.
And take him to that. If he can step up the next level, and I don't know if there is a next level for LeBron James, but if he can take that next step and lead an inexperienced team to a championship, then he all of a sudden...
Of course he does.
...is confirmed as one of the all-time greats.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that's a fascinating thing. So it's going to be interesting to see, and I don't want fans out there to say, you know, I'm saying Golden State can't win it. That's not the case. I love what they've done. I love them as a team. I love what Atlanta's done as a team. But you do have some little things working against you from an historical perspective. And in the NBA, Tony, something like since 1980, only 9 different franchises have won the NBA title. 9 since 1980. In the NFL, it's something like 18. So it's like double the number of teams in the NBA or the NHL, the NFL, and baseball that have won the title in the time that only 9 franchises have won it in the NBA.
Well, we're going to say goodbye, Ed, but just very quickly,
baseball
underway.
Off and running. A-Rod is back after that drug suspension. Yankee fans gave him a loud cheer, which I'm not sure what that says about Yankee fans with the suspension or A-Rod in general. But, baseball season is back and underway.
Beautiful stuff. Ed White joining us here on 1116 SEN.